I began this morning's lesson, and I appreciated Brother Sammy and the men of this congregation choosing for the month of July the theme of influence. Now, you've had different preachers, and I don't know, maybe they talked about salt and light and the influence that is seen in those two wonderful object lessons that Jesus described his disciples as being. So if you hear it again this month, I know that it'll just be a reminder of the influence that all of us have in our service unto the Lord. Going back to the book of Genesis, Moses wrote, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 12 of the great book of beginnings, the first book of the Bible, "And Jehovah said unto Abram," I'm reading out of the American Standard Version, "Jehovah said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and be thou a blessing." Two thoughts emerge out of that verse. I'm going to make a blessing of you. I'm going to bless you. And we know that God indeed did bless Father Abraham. And he had a great nation, the nation of Israel, the Jewish nation. All of the descendants of the Jews trace their lineage and their genealogy and origin all the way back to Father Abraham. But isn't there also another great nation that had come out of spiritual Abraham? If we are Christ's, Paul wrote in Galatians 3, if we're Christ, we're Abraham's seed and heirs according unto the promise. All of you here then that are baptized into Christ, you are of Abraham's seed spiritually. He is our spiritual father, and we are that great spiritual nation that we are to be in our world tonight. Notice, I will bless you, and you will be a blessing. Are we a blessing to the world around us tonight? We are, if we are followers of Christ, if we are disciples, if we are members of Christ's spiritual heavenly kingdom. In Matthew 5, again, we mention this great, wonderful sermon that our Lord gave on the Mount, the sermon that he delivered unto his disciples. And he describes what disciple citizens or kingdom citizens are like. We call these the Beatitudes. The poor in spirit, those who are mourning, those who are meek, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, those who are merciful, those who are the pure in heart, those who are the peacemakers, and those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, Jesus turns to these ordinary disciples, not great, outstanding men and women, but just ordinary disciples of his. And he says two things about them that should have caused them to walk away with their heads held high and gratitude in their hearts because of what Jesus described them as being. You who are described in these Beatitudes, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. I don't know of any two verses that would more perfectly describe the influence that all of us have tonight as followers of Christ. The influence first of the salt. We talked about that this morning, and I'm not going to repeat what we said then. But I do believe that all of us understand here is a box of salt. How many of you believe that this salt does any good without coming into contact with that which needs to be salted. We know that salt in the salt box or the salt container or the salt shaker, it is no good by itself. It has to come out of the container and come into contact with that which is to be salted in order for it to do any good. I want you to imagine, here are those who are disciples of the Lord. Here is the church. Here are those that Jesus said are the salt of the earth. Let this tomato represent the earth, the world. And in order for the world to be blessed, to have any good to come into its life, the salt must come out of the shaker and come in contact with the world or the tomato in order for it to receive a blessing. You and I will go out this week. You and I will come into contact with people in the world. And as we come into contact with people in the world, what I want to do is take my life, my influence as salt, and I want to be poured out into the life of somebody that needs salt in its life in order to be blessed. You know, when I think about salt on a wound, how many of you all have ever had salt put on a wound? You know, when you have that salt placed upon the wound in your body, it might sting. It might burn, right? If you've ever had salt placed upon a sore or a wound. Our world is wounded tonight by sin. And I promise you this, you and I, when we stand for righteousness and we put the salt of righteousness upon the wound of the world, it's going to sting. It's going to hurt. For any one of us to think that when we preach and teach that which will influence a hurting world, it's going to sting the hearts of those who hear what we have to say. I was at a funeral, and by the way, Miss Jenny isn't able to be with me tonight because we have the teenagers from East Ridge. Y'all want to come over? Aaron, let those kids come over to our house after church tonight at around 7 or a little after, and the teenagers are coming, so she's got to get some food ready. So she was preparing food there, and we'll be going to East Ridge at 6 o'clock when the services are conducted there this evening. But when I think about how that there is a balm in Gilead, and we sing about that. I mentioned the funeral service this afternoon. Been a full day, and I've enjoyed the whole day. Being here this morning, having a funeral service this afternoon, being here tonight, and then going home and unwinding with teenagers. Can you believe you can unwind? Sister Parks, you taught teenagers, I guess, at Boyd. You know, it'd be a little tough to unwind with teenagers, but I love teenagers. They're special. And we were at the funeral this afternoon, getting back to that. And the song that was sung at that funeral service was The Balm in Gilead. Is there a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul? Is there salt that can be put upon the wounds of our world that will heal the sin-sick souls all around us? Yes, yes, there is a wonderful balm in Gilead. And that balm placed upon our sin-sick world can bring healing tonight. Well, let's move. In the last few moments of our study together this evening, talking about the light of the world that all of you are. Again, let me mention this. If Jesus were to be standing in this pulpit tonight and over this beautiful little audience, Jesus were to say to you, you are the light of the world. What an honor. You know, the day that Jesus lived, in the days of the New Testament, way back then in New Testament days, there were great philosophers, Plato, Socrates, Aristotle. These were great philosophers, and they taught a lot of marvelous philosophic ideas. But none of the things that Plato or Aristotle or Socrates would teach could ever compare with what Christians taught. The simplicity of the message of the gospel of Christ was a light that sprang up in the world, and men and women began going with the wonderful message of the gospel of Christ. And the gospel, the light, was placed in earthen vessels. And as that light began to shine out of the hearts and began to be spoken by the words of Christians in the days of the first century, there was a light that sprang up. The people did not ever hear or understand by the teachings of philosophers of that day, coming all the way down into the Renaissance period, the age of enlightenment, the age where people began to read and study various things and were taught various things that were supposed to enlighten the world in the Renaissance, and the period of enlightenment coming all the way down to what they understood then, great teachings about science and history and education, coming all the way down until today. We think we live now in a time of great enlightenment. And there's so much knowledge. It seems to be just overflowing all around us, knowledge. Isn't it wonderful that we have discovered light in the medical realm, and the light that has been discovered in medicine. We live a lot longer today because of the discoveries of medical enlightenment. We think about the enlightenment that has come to us through transportation. We can travel so many places so much quicker than they did years ago when they did not have the fast methods of transportation. I've got something right here in my pocket. What do we call this little thing? We know what this is. We know the wonderful vast amount of knowledge and information. I can just hit Google, and I can Google about anything that I want to find out the knowledge about. And isn't it amazing that you can put an address inside of this little telephone, and you can go from Chattanooga, maybe all the way to Ireland or other places in our world. I can put this information of a location, and we can pull it up right here with this little iPhone, information phone. It really staggers our imagination how much knowledge and enlightenment we have in our world available to us. But have you ever thought about in the day when there's so much enlightenment, so much understanding and knowledge, we still live in a day of darkness where people really do not understand things that are simple and basic and fundamental? Those who are so-called scientists, they will stand before a group of young folks, and in their so-called enlightenment, they would say to us, "Well, don't you know that we evolved from the amoeba, the molecule, to a man? We are those that do not have a creator. We are the product of a series of evolution, and the evolutionary scale. Supposedly, the great knowledge of those that go back to that. Men live in darkness because of a denial and an embracing of evolution and a denial of the creation, that in the beginning God saw the darkness. Darkness upon the face of the deep. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And the light shined in the darkness. Darkness then is not nearly as strong as light. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus then, that great light, came down into this world of darkness. And as our Lord came down into this world of darkness, what did He do? He wanted to drive the darkness out. And He wanted to show the power of the light that He was over the darkness of this world of ours. Jesus would say, John chapter 8, I am the light of the world. He that followeth Me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Yes, the Bible teaches that there is something far, far greater than the so-called enlightenment and the knowledge and the understanding of so-called men and women tonight who believe that they have possession of and the dissemination of the great light that they understand, that they proclaim, and that they teach. You and I, as followers of Christ, we have the great light given to us, the light that is within our hearts, the light that we take out into our world tonight is a beautiful, bright, and shining light. And I realize that when our Lord said, "You are the light of the world," notice again the contrast. The world is what? In darkness. The world is surrounded by darkness. Paul describes in the book of Galatians chapter 1, those who are translated out of the kingdom of darkness brought over to the kingdom of light. And that's really where we are tonight. We are either in the world of darkness or the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God's dear Son. In which do we find ourselves tonight? Am I in that wonderful, beautiful kingdom of the light, of the glory of Christ Jesus, our Lord? Did you know you and I are like the moon? Yes, we are. I could say of every Christian, we are light that shines like that which comes from the moon. Where does the moon receive its light? Is it not from the sun? And that sun that shines down upon the moon. And at night, the radiance of the light that the moon has and is but a reflection of the sun shining down its light, its rays upon the moon. Where does our light come from? How can it be said of us, "You are the light of the world"? Because you see, we are shining forth the light of the S-O-N, the Son of God, shining in our hearts. Then we take the light of Christ shining in our hearts, out into the dark world around us. What a wonderful and beautiful influence it is then. We're not shining our light. We're shining the light of Christ. The glory of Christ seen in us the glory and the beauty of that light being reflected from the sun into our lives. When I think about the way that the light shines and us being the light of this dark world, I realize that light goes about its work quietly. You see these lights that are coming from the lights above us, the lights along the top of that wall. Do you hear the light saying anything, making any noise? No, we realize that that light shines in a quiet way. The beauty you see of yourself and all of us being the light of the world is that we quietly go about our lives serving the Lord. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't say anything. It doesn't mean that we do not proclaim the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ unto others. But it means that light, the light that Jesus says we are in our influence, is a quietness. You ever watch a candle as that candle burns? Imagine here is a candle, and that candle is sitting on a table. And as that candle sits upon the table, the light that comes out of the top of that candle, imagine this is the light coming out of the candle. And that light quietly shines brightly. And what is it that we understand tonight that if you had a room of darkness, imagine this room was totally black, dark. There was no light at all. And all of us came into this auditorium and we brought a candle with us. With the combination and the joining together of all of our candles shining together, we'd be able to see. It would be a clearer vision by all of us as by the light coming from our single candle. We were to shine brightly in this darkened room. You know what else about that candle that makes it beautiful? The candle, my friend, always sits upright. Have you ever seen a candle upside down? We don't put a candle upside down, do we? We put it upright. And as that candle and the light coming from that candle is upright in its position, you and I must, as lights in the world, be those who are upright. We must stand upright. We must stand allowing our light to shine in that upright fashion. And what a wonderful thought it is for every one of us to be described as those people are upright in their Christian life and influence for good. Oh, I think about that wonderful light then that is of such nature that it doesn't blind those who are around it. I can look at these lights here and I'm not blinded by looking into that light. But how many of you all ever go to an optometrist or ophthalmologist and that person takes that light and puts it right there in your eye? You know what my ophthalmologist has to do in order to put that light directly into my eye? She has to hold my eye open because it wants to shut at the brightness of that light shining into my eyes. What about going and looking at the sun? How many of us can go out at midday and look up at the sun in the heaven above and we can look at that light shining from the sun? It is so bright that we cannot look directly at the sun. Sunglasses help us to be able to ward off the brightness of that sun. I believe that there is a wonderful lesson in the idea that you and I are not to be so bright in people's faces that we blind them, that we not help them see and understand how that our light is shining in such a way that they know what we're trying to communicate unto them. Maybe that was the problem, you see, that Jesus saw in the Pharisees of his day. They wanted to be so bright in their light before others, they drove people away. They did all of their good deeds. They were letting their light shine, not to glorify God, but to glorify self. As that old Pharisee goes into the temple and he prays and he says, God, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. He's trying to let his light be so bright and shine in such a bright way. People were blinded by the very lives those Pharisees were living. He began to talk about what he was doing. I tithes of all that I possess. I do this, I do that. I don't do what others are doing out there in the world. And that old Pharisee, you see, was trying to let his light be so bright that he was blinding people who were around him. We can't do that. We must let our light shine in such a way that people can see clearly, easily understanding what we're trying to communicate to them. When I think about what Jesus said, as I draw our thoughts to a close this evening, he said, do not put your lamp, lighting that lamp. And you know, a lamp had two parts to that lamp. In Jesus' day, there was oil inside the lamp. Remember the story of the virgins? The 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. What made the virgins who were foolish to be described by Jesus in that way? They allowed the oil in their lamp to run out. Midnight came. There was no light that came out of their lamp. They had to run and try to find oil to put inside their lamps. You and I must have the oil of righteousness that comes through Christ, through the gospel, through the word of God, through living the Christian life. That is the oil inside of us that we must always be sure is kept properly in place inside our spiritual lamp, our lives. But there's a wick, and the wick in that lamp has to be kept clean. Can't allow dirt and grime to be on that wick, because it will not burn properly. Some of you all remember, I know I do, and I'm not really too old, but I remember the only light that we had out in the country down in South Georgia was a kerosene lamp. And we would light, my grandmother, mother would light that lamp. We had no lights like this, no electricity. We had that lamp. And you know, it was easy to sleep sometime with that kerosene lamp with a light dancing or bouncing off the wall. There was something really special about that lamp. You got to have the oil. You got to have the wick in that lamp in order for that light to work in the proper way. And you don't take that lamp and hide it under a bushel. You don't hide that light down there, because if you put the bushel over the lamp or the light, it will cause the light not to shine out unto others. Jesus said, a city set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light be like that, sitting upon a place where people all around you can see your influence for good. Let your light shine all around you. We sing that in Vacation Bible School. If I started singing at night, you would sing it with me. This little Christian light of mine. I'm not going to sing it all the way through. This little Christian light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Where, Lord? All around the neighborhood. Don't let the devil blow it out. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to hold that light up. I'm going to be like that city. People can see. People can see our lives like light shining brightly in a dark, dark world. Oh, how grateful I am tonight. For every Christian in this audience, you're the salt of the earth. Your influence is felt for good in your family, among your friends, at school, in your neighborhood, in the church. You're the light of the world. You go forth holding out the light in the midst of a dark world. Holding out, as Paul says in that Philippian letter, chapter 2, holding forth the word of life as lights in a dark, dark place. We as Christians need to be holding up, never ashamed of, never hiding the gospel under a bushel, but with great joy and honor, holding forth thy word as a lamp to my feet and a light unto my pathway. An ancient king asked his daughters, "How much do you love me?" The daughters, one by one, began talking about things valuable. "I love you like maybe some valuable diamond or ruby or some precious mineral. I love you like something else that is very, very valuable." The last daughter looked at her dad and said, "Dad, Father, I love you like salt." And this offended the ancient king. "Like salt? Why would you compare your love for me to be like salt?" That morning, she brought in his breakfast with no salt on the food. And then he understood how great was her love for him. When Jesus said to us, through his word, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Your influence is doing more than can be imagined. Your love for me and for the world is seen in being salt and being light all around you." Let's stand and sing the song that Brother Sammy has chosen tonight. If you're in the audience and need to respond to become a Christian, you have that opportunity tonight. If you believe in Jesus and would repent of your sins, would acknowledge your faith in this audience and be baptized for the remission of your sins, if you need the prayers of this wonderful congregation, we're here to pray for you.